the Lord. Thank God for all of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland, along with my lovely wife, Pastor Kathy Copeland.
That's me.
We're going to share some more with you on God's plan for the family and more on marriage. So let's pray together. Thank you, Father God, for this time together in your presence. Lord, we gather unto you, for unto the Lord shall the gathering of your people be. Thank you for imparting wisdom to begin this podcast with the family, exposing, Lord God, all of what you intend to share with us in this area that is a mystery to many of us, to all of us, Lord. Marriage is a mystery. So we ask that by your Spirit you will unfold principles, that you will share truth with us.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, we will pass it on to those that are viewing.
Yes.
Thank you for helping us, for in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Praise God for all of you. The last time we were together, we were talking about the importance of stewarding this mystery that we have, that the Lord has opened to us regarding marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I want us to look at the passage that we left off last time. I think we're in Colossians chapter 1.
Yes.
Colossians chapter 1. And we were talking about that marriage is a mystery, and what the Lord has done in our marriage, that we have to properly steward that.
Yes.
We have to properly demonstrate what the Lord has done in our marriage on a daily basis, so that our family can see it, that it reflects God, and then those around us can see it as it reflects God.
Yeah, we have to live it out.
Yeah.
Live it out.
Yeah, we do. We have to live it out.
Mm-hmm.
So in Colossians chapter 1, go ahead and read, Kat. We'll start at verse 26.
Verse 26, Colossians 2, verse 26.
Verse
26. I have the New King James Version.
Okay.
The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay. So what we see out of this passage is that there was something that was hidden from generations. There was something that was hidden from the ages.
Yes.
That God in his sovereign wisdom just decided to conceal some things for a later generation to bring forth.
My goodness.
Or to conceal it from the age. Maybe the age is wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the age won't properly steward the revelation that God wants to bring.
Mm-hmm.
So what we see here is that he hid it from ages and from generations. But in that 26th verse, I like these two words, but now.
Yes.
So yes. It no longer is to be hidden and concealed, but now.
But now.
Mm-hmm. Has been revealed to his saints.
Yes.
So only saints, children of God.
That's right.
Now, these ain't churchgoers per se.
Yes.
These are people that have laid down their life.
Yes.
Have given their life for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the comparison that we make, the religious crowd, they just go to church. They don't lay down their life. They don't apply any principles.
Yes.
They're just, you know, they're just the looky-loos,
yeah.
Right? They're not interested
Correct.
In God's purpose.
Correct.
They're not interested in becoming like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to go to heaven and miss the hot place. That's pretty much. That's a religious mindset that never will understand what God reveals.
Yes.
He reveals it to saints, not the religious.
Yes.
So people who have been in church all their life
mm-hmm.
could still go 30 years, 40 years and divorce because they never understood the mystery of marriage.
Yes.
It was never explained to them.
Mm.
You know, nobody ever sat down with them and explained it. Like, I wish we had a podcast like this when we were younger
yeah.
in the Lord to sit down instead of the crazy advice that people gave us when we got married. Yeah. I don't even want to share it on the podcast. That's some of the stuff that people told us that, you know, we had to do is ridiculous.
My. Oh my.
And we couldn't even carry out the counsel that was given because we left knowing that wasn't wise counsel
right.
that we got.
Yes.
So here what we see is that there are things that God wants to reveal in this day, but now has been revealed to his saints. Verse 27,
mm-hmm.
To them God willed.
Mm-hmm.
To them God willed to make known what? The riches of the glory of this mystery, notice, among the Gentiles. These are people that are not covenant people with God, but they've received Christ as their personal Savior, laid down their life.
Yes.
Right? They weren't Jews per se. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But spiritual Jews in a sense that they receive Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, they're open to the revelation, but now has been revealed to his saints. Notice to them, to them.
Mm-hmm.
So God's target, God has a target people that he's unfolding mysteries, that he's revealing hidden things. Now, one of the hidden things that he's bringing out here, which we read, is this concept, and I want to say concept, but I want to use it lightly so that we don't confuse it with the religious.
Okay.
Christ in you is not religious. It's a reality. So the hidden mystery among the Gentiles is Christ in you. What is this? The hope of glory. Any expectation that we have that speaks to glory. It's coming out of our understanding of Christ. Because Christ in us is this hidden mystery. Notice verse 28. Him we preach. Who is the him? Christ, who is now in us.
Yes.
Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why is this important? Why is warning and teaching in wisdom so important? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This should be the goal of every church, every local fellowship. Every pastor needs to have a mentality that every person in my congregation, I'm going to present perfect in Christ Jesus, regardless as to how they are in the world. If we can get them in Christ, we can present them to the Lord as perfect or mature. And I'm thankful to the Lord that he has, you know, pointed this out to us, this mystery, Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is the segment that we want to use to angle into the marriage home, because if those in the home don't know who is within them, then that home, that marriage, that relationship is going to be a big mystery. It's a giant mystery. And now we think like marriage is this algorithm that we got to figure out. You know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And, you know, we can't figure them out because we can't figure us out. I think what is being understood there is that the dynamics with men and women are so unique and so different that you can't categorize into one way something will work. If marriage is a mystery, then we need insight into that mystery, how to carry out the will of God. Now, from here, Kat, this premise, Christ in you. Now, we have this understanding. We've gone through the training. I know just reflectively, when you finished the Alert training and I finished the Alert training, it was two different times. And even going back and going back through it again with you, I was refreshed. But, you know, the understanding that we have is concerning the new creation. And this is the premise of the new creation. I don't know if you remember, but the new creation, it's been promised, right? But every promise has a premise upon which foundationally it's established. And this premise is Christ in you. You know as well as I do, it has been difficult to share with people that understanding, especially the religious.
Yes.
Because they can't see who lives within them.
Yeah.
They just determine, well, this is the hand God dealt me, yeah, and yeah, I'm this way. Be patient with me. God ain't finished with me yet.
Yeah. Or I receive Christ, and then I stop there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm saved.
I don't get to the point where things are revealed to me.
Yeah.
I receive Christ. I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven, and I'm happy, and I miss hell.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, but that's about it. But what has he revealed?
Yeah.
And I like when you said that word, but now. Yeah. So I think we need to understand that now is the time, more than any other time that we've seen. And, you know, this generation right now, what has to be revealed is Christ in you, the mystery.
Yes.
Like you said, stewarding that mystery in every life to understand what he has given us. And it needs to be revealed.
Yes.
So it's not something that you might just necessarily, you know, go through.
I got to get to that part.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah. It's that God revealed, right? God reveals this to us, and he will to make it known.
Yes.
But he wants to make it known. He wants Christ to be known in the world that we live in, with the kind of government that we're underneath, with the different things that are going on, all the tragedies, all the different things, the challenges in our day.
Yeah.
What is the most important things that needs to be revealed? Christ in you. The hope of glory. That Christ that lives within you.
Yeah.
When you open up your life, when you lay your old life down at the cross, and you allow the cross to crush that old life so that Christ could live within you, that life that is to live within you is the hope.
Yeah, it is.
It's the hope of this world.
It's
the hope of marriages.
Yeah.
It's the hope of families.
Yeah.
It's the hope of the households that needs to be revealed, not tomorrow,
mm-mm,
not
but
next
now.
Week,
mm-hmm,
not two, okay, in 5 years from now.
Right.
No,
you should be ready.
It needs to be revealed now.
To them.
So, but you have to be one of them.
Yeah.
You have to be one of the saints so that it can be revealed to you.
Yeah.
So understand that, you know, our homes, our marriages, our households, that if we don't understand that there's something that God wants to be revealed through our homes, through our families, through our marriages, as stewards, the most important thing is Christ.
Yeah.
Christ must be revealed.
excuse me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you, and like you said, but now has been revealed to the saints, you know. So the ain'ts won't get this revelation.
No.
They're somewhere else. And, you know, we think that something that is simple to us as a mystery that's been made known can simply be revealed to anybody else. But from here, we see that that's not the case.
Yes.
That if you're not a saint, you know, and what he's pointing out here is those who he's writing to, you know, Paul wrote to the saints, to the saints at Rome, to the saints of Thessalonica, to the saints at Philippi. So he's not, none of the letters are written to unbelievers.
Yes.
None of the letters that he mentions things that are connected to the world of the unbelievers, but the letter itself is written to those who have come into light.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want us to consider something, Kat, like we're talking about the new creation and everything.
Right.
I want us to go back to Ephesians chapter 2. There's something here that I would like for us to establish in Ephesians chapter 2, where it was first mentioned, and we're not just making this up concerning the new creation and trying to push something that, you know, people think they already understand. They don't. It hasn't been studied. It's seldom looked at, except when it comes to, you know, making a decision for Christ. If any man be in Christ, you know, we run over there to use it for other measures, right? But I want us to see here that the work that grace does in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Grace. Grace is the gift of God. Mm-hmm. You can't earn grace. You can't merit grace.
Right.
It's something that God gives.
Right.
It saves us through faith, and it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Mm-hmm.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, he begins to take a different angle from verse 11 down.
Okay.
He's talking about something related to the Gentiles who were in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
who were called the uncircumcision and this mm-hmm. kind of thing. He's mm-hmm. talking about a particular group of people.
Okay.
Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise. This is who we were before Christ, having no hope and without God in the world.
Wow.
Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but now, there's our phrase again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Mm.
Now, as we look at this and we go to the next verse, it's important to see how we're brought near.
Yes.
That this wasn't something that we, like, in our private time, we didn't say, hey, you know what, Lord, we know that you're going to bring us near by the blood, so we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
No. We don't know how we were brought near. That's part of the mystery, right? But here he says we're brought near by the blood of Christ. Okay? So in Christ Jesus is what we were afar off from, which meant when we were in Adam, we weren't in Christ.
Correct.
Yeah, actually, you have to come out of Adam to be in Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to leave Adam to come into Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, Jew and Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of separation or partition.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself, here it is, one new man from the two. We know that the one new man is the new creation.
Yes.
So from Jew and Gentile, God only did this in Christ. This was done in Christ. This wasn't done in the world or in Egypt. No.
Yeah.
The place where God did this, we see, is in Christ, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God, Jew and Gentile is what he's talking about.
Yes.
In one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Now, question. They've been reconciled to God, but they've been reconciled into one body. I wonder what body he's talking about there. You want to take a guess?
Body of Christ.
Yes. Christ's body. The church.
Body of Christ. Yes.
Yes. So notice, God in Christ, he said this was done. He created in himself one new person, one new man from Jew and Gentile. So God doesn't see believers and unbelievers. He sees one person in Christ. So God just sees Jesus, right? And if you're in Jesus, you're covered.
Yes. Amen.
If you're not, you're outside. He's talking to you.
Oh, boy.
He reconciled them both to God in one body through the cross.
Amen. Amen.
So again, your prayer about understanding the cross and that context, you know, the body that Jew and Gentile have been reconciled to, the body is the body of Christ, but it was through the medium of the cross that no one is a part of Christ's body, married or not married, that hasn't come through the cross. So I'm seeing here that the cross has an integral part to play with those that have been reconciled to God. So if you've been saved by the grace of God, spirit-filled, whatever, this has already happened to you. This has already happened. if God has reconciled you into that one body, that one body is the church, right? But it was through the cross. And now what did it do? What the cross did, thereby putting to death the enmity.
Mm-hmm.
So the middle wall of separation
mm-hmm.
and the enmity that Adam was to God has been resolved through Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Christ handled that whole situation. Amen. So if you go back to Genesis, like in your mind, I have Adam falling and the inability to put himself back in right relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. The plan of God unfolds. Christ, who was the lamb slain
before the foundation of the world. Yes.
Now release that plan to come forth. So the fall never confused God. He knew it was coming. Yeah. Therefore, here comes the plan.
Yeah, the plan.
So the plan in Christ is to take mankind out of its own self, world, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he put all things in Christ. We see this in Ephesians, the first chapter and the 10th verse. I'll just read it real quick because I don't want to remove what we're talking about here. So let me just run over and grab this. Ephesians 1, verse 10.
Yes.
It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things where? In church?
In Christ.
In Christ. So all things, and what he's talking about, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
In him, yes.
So the truth is that if you're not in Christ, you're in a terrible state. You're in a bad situation.
Yes, you are.
You can be a member of a church, but if you're not connected to the body of Christ,
then
you're in a bad fix. And you can believe whatever you want, right? You can be whatever. You can believe in your blackness. You can believe in your ordinance, your whatever. Whatever you're trying to do in your blackness, right? It doesn't amount to what Jesus did in reconciling all things in Christ.
Yes.
In Christ. So if you're going to be a new creation, you have to come in Christ.
That's right.
If you're going to be different in the world, you have to come in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference, the only distinction in our world today,
yes,
those that can be demonstrate a difference, they're found in Christ.
Absolutely.
So this is what we see. Now, our marriages have to come out of that context.
Yes.
If our marriages don't come out of this context here, this is part of the consolidation. The fullness of time that he might gather together in one all things in Christ.
Yes.
They're not in the world, they're in Christ. All of what God wants to do, he put in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Why are we running to the world for songs?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we running to the world for resources and for stuff?
Mm-hmm.
God in mercy put it all in Christ for his children.
Mm-hmm.
So that we could be extracted out of the world and deposited in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that everything in Christ is new. Everything is new.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? What happened to the old things?
Passed away.
And behold, what?
All things have become new,
including my marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm in Christ, my marriage is not the same.
Yeah. So the question is, are you in Christ?
That's the point.
Are you in Christ?
That's the point. My brother, my sister.
If not, you already know what's going to happen. If you're not in Christ, you're in the world.
Right. Right, you can only be two places.
You're in the world system.
Right,
you're
right.
In the flesh.
Right,
you know.
Right,
you're in
that realm.
Yeah,
natural
in that realm.
That
where it's all about you.
You.
It's all about what you want. Yeah. It's all about what's being said, and people are being pressured.
Yes.
Into by the world system. Oh no, stay here.
Yeah.
And know that the enemy is not trying to let you go.
Right.
He's
right.
Not trying to let you be in Christ.
Right. Right.
So when you know when you have the decision to come to Christ, that fight,
yes,
that fight, because the enemy does not want to let you be in Christ. He wants you to be in him, the enemy, in the world system, in the fleshly realm, where nothing works out right. Mm-hmm. I know you think so. I know you think because you have a lot of money, you got a house on the hill and got a nice, you know, car and you know,
nest
all
egg.
Of this and you know, a lot of money in the bank and you got retirement and all of that. And
wanna be a millionaire.
You're in that.
Yeah.
But you're not in Christ.
Yeah. You're in a bad
fix.
You're
gonna suffer. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, I want us to see, you know, what got me here, Kat, is like we see the benefits of being in Christ.
Yes.
Verse 14, for
yes.
he himself is our peace.
Yes.
Who made both one.
Mm-hmm.
He broke down the middle wall of partition, the middle wall of separation,
mm-hmm.
having abolished in his flesh
mm-hmm.
the enmity. Now, mm-hmm. this is why every marriage has to go through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There's a middle wall of separation. There is separation waiting to happen
wow.
if you're not in Christ.
My goodness.
Jesus broke that wall down between us and God.
Mm.
He restored the relationship that Adam had. I heard you mm. in the garden, but I hid myself because I was naked. I was afraid, and I hid among the trees mm. in the garden. Mm-hmm. We see in that sixth verse, I four times.
Yeah. Yep.
This proves that the self life mm. had taken over Adam.
Yes.
And he had begun to deify self. Self became God. What Satan offered them is like, look, forget him. He didn't want to reveal to you that mm-hmm. your eyes will be open
yeah.
and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So eat this.
Mm. Right.
Eat this. And you'll see things that he
yeah.
didn't even show you.
Right.
See, the devil knew that if he could get them to disobey, if he
Lord.
Could offer them self
mm-hmm.
and they eat it,
mm-hmm.
then that would be their master from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
Self.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, everybody born in Adam is born with self on the throne.
Yes.
The human yes. nature.
Yeah.
The human nature. You don't care. I mean, we're only human.
Yeah.
You know, you're a human being. We're only human.
Oh,
that's a slap in God's face. Every
yeah.
time a child of God says that, it's as though Jesus did nothing.
Nothing for you.
Mm. Are you a new creation or not? Here's the issue. And Kat, this is what got me. You know, I'm going to let you share it, but I mean, I was just captured by this passage because, you know, twice in verse 14, and then in verse 15, he says, thus making peace from the new man. And for he himself, verse 14, he's our peace.
Yes.
Now, what the prosperity message
yes.
has missed in all of what it's proclaimed
oh,
in prosperity
mm-mm.
is the common definition of peace.
Wow.
Prosperity in its simplest definition
yeah. Yeah.
can be defined
yeah.
as peace. Peace mm-hmm. is well-being.
Mm-hmm.
That when God gives you peace, he makes sure that your life is okay. It ain't
wow.
just like a mental tranquil, yes,
yeah.
have peace.
Absolutely
he
not.
He takes care of every
yes,
aspect of our
yes.
being.
Yes, hallelujah.
When God gives you peace,
yes.
you're not broke.
Mm.
No, he yes. gave you peace. Mm-hmm. How can well-being not include resources?
Yeah.
God hasn't really done anything. Like, thanks, Lord, but I still ain't got no money.
All-inclusive.
No, it's all-inclusive.
Yeah.
He put it in peace. So here we see in verse, I'm in the Ephesians verse here. And verse 14 and verse 15, he mentions that. Now
yeah.
we gotta come to a close. Our time is
yeah.
gone already.
Ooh,
we went a little longer this time, but
I
think it's important, like, to lay this groundwork,
yes.
you know, moving forward, because
yes.
we don't know who's watching, we don't know what their understanding is,
yes.
and what we're discovering is that people really don't have an understanding of the new creation.
Correct.
When you mention the new creation,
yes.
people don't know what you're talking about. Pastors are unsure. They kind of have a glimpse of what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about, but the process that we're talking about is different. It's not churchy. It's not religious.
Yes.
The premise of the principle is Christ is in you. So that's what we want to stop today and make sure you understand, that all of what the Lord is doing is shifting the attention to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That's where the real life is. That's where our victory is. That's where the child of God has all of his needs met without anything left undone.
Yes.
it's all been deposited in Christ. So the issue is, as Kat asked the question, are you in Christ, my brother, my sister? We want to pray about that today, because if you're not in Christ, then none of the principles that we're sharing with you can really be applied. It requires those who have been born again, born from above. Something happened to them on the inside. David said, thou desirest truth in the secret parts. So, Father, we want to pray today in Jesus' name that you do something in the hearts of those that are viewing, that you do something as you've done in our hearts, Lord. You've brought us to an understanding of the new creation, the new creation marriage, the new creation husband, the new creation wife, the new creation family, the new creation children that are following the voice of their parents, coming into the things of God. Lord, would you undo what the enemy has done and redo what you want done in the body of Christ? Lord, we've missed so many of the principles that are right here, but they're a mystery. You deposited them in Christ, but there are many who are in your church, but that are not in Christ. So this hasn't been revealed to them. So we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you open their eyes that they might see. We know the God of this world blinds the minds of those who believe not. But Lord, those who carry the life light are to bear that image. As we have borne the image of the earthly, who is Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, who is Christ. Help us to bear that image, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
to those that are on this broadcast, to those that view, Lord, help them to see that this is what you're doing out of the new creation.
Yes, Lord God.
Thank you, precious Lord. We give you praise. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. We thank God for all of you that are viewing. That's all the time we have on this episode. As the Lord is leading us, we'll be back on next week by God's grace to share more principles with you. Until then, may God's riches be yours. We will see you next time. God bless you.
See you next time.